Previously on Algoa FM.
So we were given a task at work to find and share our favorite South Africans. And I chose my drama teacher at high school, Miss Sandy Osborne. You are just an absolute gem. I'm just so excited to see you after 15 years.
Oh, thanks, Rosh. It's gorgeous to be here. You're looking stunning.
Thank you. You were looking stunning. You are still the funky, cool person that I know.
Thank you.
I used to love your pixie hairstyle because it was different all the time, where you would change the color and do something just wild with your hair, but it was still appropriate for school, but it was just so cool.
And it's just gray now. Well, actually not gray, I'm silver.
Silver.
Yes.
But honey, that's amazing. You know, it's silver diamond. That's what you are.
Totally.
Yes.
Totally.
So I wanted to share the reason why I chose you as my favorite South African. Mm-hmm. So at school, you know, you're trying to find yourself. You go through this sort of existentialistic moment.
Crisis.
And a crisis. And you're like, okay, what am I? Who am I? And you saw me. I don't know how, but you just saw straight through me. You knew what to say always. And you always made me feel seen and,
oh, Rosh,
and just welcome.
That
always
is so amazing.
Really?
I have such, my most vivid memory of you was actually in grade 10. Mm. And I remember it like it was the other day, and I'm not sure if you remember it. I wanted to do something different with the class in terms of practical. Mm. And I contacted a dear old friend of mine who's obviously still with Algoa, Carol Ann Kelleher.
Yes, I remember.
And I asked Carol Ann to come and do a little lesson on how to present news and everything. Mm. And I distinctly remember you came to me after that session and you said to me, that's what I'm going to do.
I'm
going to be on radio. And I will always remember that.
Wow.
I will always remember that.
Well, I did it, Sandy.
And here you are, and you are gorgeous.
Thank you so much. I did it, and you knew how determined I was. When I put my mind to something, then I do it.
Yeah, you were quite a determined young lady. I actually remember that.
Yes, yeah, so that's me.
Very self-assured.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, you were self-assured.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And your classes were always eye-opening, always
different,
unique, on the edge. And you allowed each and every student to show off their strengths. That's what I loved about your classes and your drama productions. I was in Les Mis. I was in all of them. And your passion and love for the arts just... it shines. It shines in everything that you do. And it shines in the students as well. And that is what I wanted to share with you, why I feel you are my favorite South African, because you've made such a huge impact on your students. And we are so comfortable, so confident. You can make me cry. We're so comfortable and confident behind a microphone, on stage, wherever we are, because you've had a hand in that.
Okay,
you've allowed us to shine, and you've elevated your students to be their authentic selves and to be who they are. And I just want to say thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. That is so sweet of you. Well, you know, that really does my old heart so, it makes me so happy, because I don't know if you know that I did retire many years ago. And in the time that I've been retired, I've returned to Port Elizabeth. I was out of Port Elizabeth. And I've retired for exactly 3 months. I've gone and taught part-time at many schools. And I'm still currently teaching. And funnily enough, you mentioned Les Mis, which to me was the highlight of my directing, you know, the South African schools premiere at Alex in 2008. And do you remember Zippa Zitle in Dika?
Yes,
she
I do.
She played in the orchestra. Now Zippa Zitle is teaching with me.
Oh, wow. I did not expect that.
Yes, she's teaching. Of course, she's a wonderful musician. And it's just so incredible as well, because I remember at the first orientation this year when we had our first get together at school, and I just heard Mrs. Osborne, and I turned around and there were Zips. Mm. And it was just so amazing. So it's wonderful catching up with her. Rosh, one of the things that I've really loved is staying in contact with so many of the kids.
You still do.
So social media has allowed that as well. Mm-hmm. Just wonderful things. I mean, I see Darren Fuller regularly.
Oh, yes.
Making a wonderful name for herself, you know, with the blood and everything. And she always talks about how I made her day because I used her name in an exam paper once.
That is so cool, actually.
Yeah, I did some. There was some little cartoon that we put in about sexism or something, and Darren was very into that
yes,
at school.
Yes, it was her thing.
And, oh gosh, there's so many. There's so many that I'm still in contact with, and kids who've really, really done amazing stuff with their lives. Amazing
and
stuff.
Thank you for saying that. And I wanted to add to that the importance of a drama and arts class.
Oh, yeah.
It is very, very important to have that because it does have a hand. It does play an integral role in the growth of a child, a student.
I think the beauty of dramatic arts, I mean, you know, one can talk on it from a theoretical perspective or basically from, in my case, I like to talk about the practical aspect of children doing drama at school. Mm. It's a safe space. And I think in drama, children are able to explore the scary sides of their lives that they can't always talk about or show, but you can do that through a character. Mm. You can play those gritty, ugly roles, holding secrets and things that nobody knows about. Mm. And it's therapeutic to many, many children. But it's also a way of teaching children confidence. I was chatting to my friend Linda Louise Swain just yesterday, and they'd busy doing a little studio production. And she was telling me about how many children are involved in this and children who wouldn't ordinarily be accepted into a dramatic arts class. Mm. But these kids are doing drama. And I mean, they're autistic children there. Mm. And they're going to be shining on stage. They're going to have their little moment in the sun. And that, to me, is what is so important. Mm,
that's huge.
And how many children have come to me through the years and said, I want to do drama, ma'am, but I'm very shy. And I go, but you're the child who should do drama.
Yes.
Because throughout your schooling, you're going to have to do orals.
Yes, and you're going to have to talk.
Yes, come and do drama, you know, and they've thrived. And it's been just wonderful. I'm just so blessed with children that I've taught. I am the one who's blessed. Mm.
Well, we are blessed to still have you communicate with us and be a part of our lives because I think as students, we can't see ourselves without you. You know, we have to have Sandy around and see what she's getting up to and just connect. And and we love you. We really do love you. But I want to go way back to teaching. Why did you choose teaching?
I think teaching chose me. Mm. It was just always going to be teaching. Mm. From a very young age, I think it started, I was almost 6 when my baby brother was born and I mothered him. Mm. So I've always had this mother hen kind of thing. You know, I was the one at school who tied the shoelaces, dried the tears, it's always been, I've just always really enjoyed people and babysat from a very young age. I used to look after all the neighbors' kids and things. And then, it was just always going to be teaching.
And you actually do that or used to do that with your students as well. If someone is going through something, we just run to Ms. Osborne. We just run to you. If we're going through something, we just cry it out and we deal with it. And then you'll make us feel okay. It's always been like that. It really just has been. But I wanted to add to our memories and moments. I remember doing a monologue. I think it was myself and Courtney. We did something. We sang The Little Mermaid, the soundtrack of The Little Mermaid.
I remember that.
Yes, we sang that. And then I can't remember what monologue I read and what I did. But I remember not feeling okay that day, and like, oh, I just hope that I get through this, and I hope that I just do this right, because I think I wasn't happy with one of my tests in one of the subjects, and I knew that if I'm in drama class, I'm going to feel better, and I'm going to deal with all of that. And after I did the monologue, you came to me and you said, "Well done. That is the best that I've seen from you." And well, and you just encouraged me so much so that I was like, well, everything's going to be okay. If my drama teacher says I'm fine, then it's okay. You know, so that was one of the memories that I have. And then walking in class, and there was a big poster that said, "You are not your circumstances. You are your opportunities. That has stuck with me. I think I've said it a couple of times on my radio shows as well.
I have heard you. And I still have it on my board.
You too?
I still believe in that creed, yes. Mm. And that is, to me, is now having contact with so many of you, to me that has been so amazing as to how many of my past pupils have risen above circumstances that people didn't know about. Mm. And have made incredible lives for themselves and just risen above that and embraced the philosophy that it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, where you live, what you look like, just be a jolly decent human being and life will be beautiful.
Thank you. Yes, please just be kind.
Yeah.
That's all we need to do. Yeah. We obviously see how the world has changed and more and more people have become quite vocal online, and there's nothing wrong in sharing your opinion. I believe you can share your opinion as long as it just doesn't hurt someone else and break them down.
Correct. It's, you know, it's something that I've always said to my kids is it's not necessarily what you say. It's how you say it. Mm. It's okay to be mad. There's nothing wrong with being mad or angry or upset. But how do you verbalize that, or how do you communicate that without hurting somebody or being violent? Mm. There are ways and means.
They are.
And I think the advent of social media and things is our children, many of our children, I choose my words carefully, many of our children have lost the ability to actually communicate and look you in the eye. And you know where I see it? Is when I first started teaching, or up until a couple of years ago, you know, I pull my glasses down on my nose, the look.
I know the look.
The look. And immediately a kid would go, "Sorry, ma'am." You instinctively know something is wrong. Today, you give that look and you get, "What?" And you go, "Pardon? Well, what? Why are you looking at me?" And I go, "Are you aware of what you know? What did I do?" Many of the children today are actually not aware of what they are doing, and they don't read body language. They don't read soft signs. And I think this is all indicative of, you know, the heads down.
Yes.
You just see the top of heads of kids.
On their phones.
On their phones. Mm-hmm. And I'm not necessarily talking about where I'm teaching at the moment. Mm. I'm talking generally. I mean, you just have to go to a restaurant.
And you see it everywhere.
Everywhere. Yes. Everywhere. Just the top of the head. Mm. So it's, yeah, for me, that's sad.
It is sad. Times have changed. And I see it in, you know, at schools, various schools as well. Mm. You could probably write a book about that and how times have changed. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about the importance, you've touched on it, the importance of drama in one's life, dramatic arts in one's life. I want to just know your view. I've always wanted to know that.
I have found that children who have studied dramatic arts and children who are currently studying dramatic arts are children who learn to listen. They learn to observe. Mm. They have an advanced vocabulary. Mm. And I think they are critical thinkers. And the main thing for me is confidence, is learning to embrace you and become, I always say to my kids, I want you to become the best you that you can be. You are not all 40 percenters. You are not all 90 percenters. But if you're a 40 percenter, I don't want 38. I want 40. If you're a 90% student, I don't want 87. I want 90. I want you to be the best that you can be. And I think drama allows children to become the best that they can be because of the confidence skills. And I also think it's really important, a component of dramatic arts, and you yourself know this, where in life are you going to go anywhere, I don't care what job you do, where you haven't got to learn how to engage with people, how to react when somebody says something that is inappropriate, how to react if somebody does something that's inappropriate. And I think that dramatic arts teaches kids life skills. Because we're dealing with so much. I mean, if I think just yesterday of that incredible interview that Lee Duchu had, talking about the inappropriate behavior and sexual crisis that so many of these kids are going through, is one can deal with that kind of situation in dramatic arts in a role play and equip children with the skills. Learn how to effectively say, no, stop it. And give the kids confidence to do that. And I think under the current circumstances, I would kill to be involved in some kind of program that we could then take to the schools. And if there's anybody out there listening, I am so keen to get involved into putting a program together to equip children with how to say no, or how to say stop it. Yes. Or children who are in that situation. You know, one of the things that's always upset me is, as teachers we taught, you know, oh, children must come and talk to you and you know, you there for children and stuff. Mm. The world has changed and so many children don't talk to us. And we need to reach those children who are not speaking. Because there are many. There are many. I always say, when I say to my kids, how are you? And they go, fine. And I go, I can see in your eyes you're not fine. What's wrong? And then the tears invariably come.
Yes.
But, you know, our immediate response when we talk to people is, you know, it's so automatic. You know, how are you? Oh, I'm fine.
Fine. I'm well. Yes.
And we wear these lovely masks in society. Because we don't want to come to school to talk about the ugly stuff. We hide it. And I suppose that's been the biggest challenge for me, both as a drama teacher and as an English teacher, is I also, as a teacher, have to wear masks. You have to put your private life in your back pocket for those hours that you're at school and be there for the kids. And I think that is something that I have consciously always been aware of.
Yes.
Is I'm the adult. Yeah. I'm the adult. And I don't know who's been hugged, who's been loved, did they have breakfast, what's happening in that home. We don't know those things. We don't know them.
Yeah.
So you go into a classroom and you teach everybody in the same manner because, and especially when you're dealing with sensitive material, you don't know the circumstances of those children. And I think teachers have got to become more aware of that. You have to think that every single child in your class is being abused because then you embrace it and you handle it with empathy.
Compassion.
And compassion.
And you've always been so good at that. And you've always pushed your students to work harder and be the best version of themselves. And, you know, the statement, a teacher can either make or break you. You have made many, many, many students.
Thank you. Rosh, you know, that little thing that you've just said there is actually thinking back to your earlier question, why teaching? A teacher can make or break you. Ironically, it was a teacher who broke me that made me decide I wanted to be a teacher. I was terribly unhappy at junior school, very unhappy, unhappier than anyone ever knew. And I decided then, and I think I was 11 at that stage, I made up my mind that I was going to become a teacher and I was going to do absolutely everything opposite to what that teacher did. I was going to love my children. I was going to embrace them and I was going to build them up, not break them down. So that a teacher makes or breaks 110%.
Thank you. And yes, you were not that teacher. You were the best teacher. And you definitely were the one that we looked forward to see and those hugs that you would give us.
Which I'm not allowed to give anymore, of course.
I know. You know, with new rules and everything.
Yeah. And it's very difficult for me because I am very demonstrative and I am very physical and I'm a great hugger and a lover. And yeah, it's actually quite sad that everything's become so sexualized and it makes me sad because there are kids out there who need a hug.
There are kids out there who need hugs. There's even adults out there that need a hug.
Oh, yeah.
Quite a bit of hugs.
I think that's one of the things I'm loving about being back in the school as well is I'm really the granny at school. So, you know, I'm the hugger and I dry the tears and I'm the, I do enjoy it. Yes. I do enjoy it.
So just to end off, Sandy, any advice to students, pupils that are shy, that are wanting to explore with dramatic arts, but they're not too sure? Maybe mom and dad says they need to do maths and science and they're really maths and science kind of kids. What is your thoughts on that?
Rosh, it's something that I've dealt with my entire life and especially parents of boys who wanted to study dramatic arts. And I think the problem is that people don't actually really understand what dramatic arts does for children. They see it as, I think the perception is it's drama, so I'm going to act and I'm going to become a superstar.
A fairy, like they say.
I think if parents took the time to actually understand what is in the syllabus and listen to the pointers that I've said, that these are life skills. And I think dramatic arts is the only subject at school, and I say that, it is the only subject at school that teaches you life skills and enables you to be the best you can be. So if there's any kid out there contemplating studying drama, my advice to them is do it. And if your school doesn't offer dramatic arts, find yourself a drama studio and go and study drama as an extramural activity.
That's lovely.
Your life will never be the same.
Oh, well, I can agree. I can see it with myself. If I did not do dramatic arts, I would not be as confident as I am.
Absolutely.
I am a great public speaker because you allowed us to talk all the time.
Yeah, but you always were a chatter.
Chatty Cathy.
Chatty, like Lauren Munger. Always. Always talking.
I keep forgetting that I think majority of your students have also been behind this microphone.
A lot.
Yes.
And many of them have made it professionally and very successfully in theatrical aspects around the world, which is marvelous, you know. Yeah, it's been awesome. It really has. I'm really proud of you.
Thank you. And
thank you for all the kind things that you've said. But you know, at the end of the day, honestly, Rosh, it's you guys who have fulfilled my life, not the other way around.
Oh.
It's you guys.
Thank you so much.
It's an absolute pleasure.
Sandy Osborne. You are still the coolest and the most beautiful and stunning person. You really are, Jem. Thank you for coming into the studio, for seeing me after 15 years.
That's a pleasure.
I really appreciate it. And you are my favorite South African.
Bless you. Bless you. Thank you.
One last question.
Mm-hmm.
Who is your favorite South African?
No one in particular. However, I have been inspired and thus admire so many of my past pupils who have embraced the best versions of themselves, risen above their personal circumstances and obstacles that no one knew about, and based on confidential conversations, both at school and after leaving school, they've achieved such success in life, not necessarily in monetary terms, but in philosophical terms or just compassion, and just become wonderful people. I'm going to single out one pupil, and I did ask his permission. It was a young boy called Jody Dearling. Jody came into my classroom just before the end of grade 9 examinations, and his words to me were, "Mama, this school thing's not for me. I'm leaving." And I remember sitting and talking to this child and saying to him, "What are you going to do, darling?" And he said to me, "I'm going to be famous." Jody is now an international entrepreneur. He's a South African entrepreneur. Google the name Jody Dearling. He is doing the most phenomenal work ever.
Wow.
He's a digital creator. He has got his own brand name. We are constantly in contact with each other. And Jody's just really made such an incredible, incredible thing of his life. But I'm just singling out him because I remember him so clearly. But all of you who've just done wonderful things, you included.
Thank you.
Just wonderful stuff and are just, to me, successful and favorite. People who've embraced themselves and become the best version of who they can be.
Well, there we go. Thank you so much. You are just everything and more. Please keep doing what you're doing, and thank you for making a difference in so many children's lives, and continue to do that.
Thank you.
Your digital library experience. Podcasts from algoafm.co.za.